With COVID-19 sweeping the nation, quarantines in effect around the globe, and social distancing becoming the norm of the day, there's one place where millions are finding solace, and that's in the garden. Teresa sat down with Diane Blazik from the National Garden Bureau today. Teresa, tell us what we can expect to hear about today's episode.
Well, COVID-19 has driven us all home, and we're learning new ways to protect ourselves and our loved ones, but it's also given us a bit of extra time. So how to use that extra time is what today's show is all about. As Chris said, Diane from the National Garden Bureau is here to talk about so many things we can do in the garden. I love the meme going around social media that says, gardening is not canceled, and it's not.
Y'all stay with us. This special edition of the Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
In this season of COVID-19 and so many cancellations, the National Garden Bureau has a list of things we can do, as well as information on starting a Victory Garden 2.0. Today, we have the president of the National Garden Bureau with us, Diane Blazik. So hello, Diane. Welcome to Rose Chat.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be on. It's an honor.
So Diane, before we get started, would you tell our friends a little bit about the National Garden Bureau?
Oh, yes, I would be happy to, because we are celebrating our 100th anniversary. So we're kind of like the little organization that's been around for a while that nobody's heard about. So we are a nonprofit organization founded by a Mr. James Burdett back in 1920 here in Chicago. And we are still located in Chicago, so that's a lot of longevity. But he was a journalist who also worked for a seed company. And he had the idea of why not kind of joining the two forces together, meaning to have this nonprofit organization that would disseminate information to other journalists. Today, we call them garden communicators, but back then they were simply called journalists, and provide them information to help the home gardener be more successful. So over all 100 years, that is still exactly what we are doing.
Now, as I read your article that was entitled Cultivating Something Good, I was amazed at all the great ideas. Your list truly had something for everyone. And isn't that just wonderful? Because literally everyone is going through this unusual season together.
It really is. It's I keep saying these are just some strange times, but being the Americans that we are, we're all pulling together. And so pulling together is one of the things that I wanted to mention. We work with a lot of garden communicators, and one of them is C.L. Fornari, and she wrote these ideas. And we said, hey, we have the means and the ability to get this information out. So I want to thank her for coming up with a lot of these ideas. And so I'm just helping her spread the word on some of the ways that people can get outside and enjoy their garden.
Well, there's lots of tips, and we're going to give information on how our listeners can get all the tips. But today, in the interest of time, we're going to talk about 5 of the top tips. So get us started.
Okay. I think this time of year, especially for those of us in the north, is taking the time to plan and or redesign your garden. I know I'm never happy with the way things are, so I want to sit there and I want to sketch it out, and I'm looking out the windows, and so I'm making lists of everything I want to grow. So spending the time indoors, or out if it's nice enough, but walk around the yard, look at your yard, see what you want to change, go online. You have plenty of time to go online, look for maybe some new varieties that you want to try. So that's our first tip, is plan and redesign.
I love that. Get your creative juices flowing. And I'm just like you stated, never totally happy, always want to tweak something. So this is a great time to do that.
It is. And then it's also a really good time to take an online class or course, a webinar. I know that there are all kinds of them out there. Watch YouTube videos, read a book, reread a book, buy a new book, start a garden journal. There's a lot of different options like that, that it's always on our to-do list, but maybe we never get around to it.
Well, this is definitely a time to get around to it. I've got stacks of books. I talk about that on my blog this week, stacks of books. And I'm more than just looking at them this week. I'm beginning to open them and dig in a little bit because I do have time.
Exactly. Yes. And speaking of time that we might have, this is the time of year. I noticed I was looking at some of my indoor foliage plants in my foyer, and I'm like, oh, I need to do some work to them. I need to give them some fertilization. I need to tie them up so that they're not so droopy. So give your indoor plants a little love right now while you're home.
Super good idea. I'm thinking of one in particular, one that really just needs potted up.
I think we probably all have one of those. So another thing that I started, and everybody's going to be different of when they want to do this. You want to go outside, but it's too early. So go ahead and start your seeds indoors. Very few gardeners that I know of don't have a seed stash down in their basement or in their refrigerator or something. So now's the time, if it's the right time for your zone, start your seed indoors. If you're further south, maybe you can start planting outdoors. I think pretty soon I might be trying to plant some lettuce. So just take advantage of it. If you have the extra time, go ahead and maybe plant something new that you've never tried before. Try kale. You know, maybe you want some baby leaf kale or something. But the whole idea is, if you have the time and you want to be outside and you don't want to be around anybody, use your secret stash of seeds and go start planting.
You know, getting plants from tiny seeds is watching the miraculous. And I think, you know, I never tire of it. You know, when my tomatoes germinated last week, I was, you know, I threw a party. Well, it was a party for two, just me and my husband. But I was so excited. You take that tiny little seed and you see it do something, and it's just, you just feel like you're giving birth.
I'm in the same boat. I went out today and I'm like, I told my husband, I'm like, oh, my kale sprouted. Look, look, there's these little seedlings. So yeah, it's kind of like a weird thrill, but it's a thrill. So one of the other things that I think is an opportune time, as long as you're doing it the right way and practicing social distancing, is if you're an experienced gardener, share your knowledge. Maybe it's with the neighbors. Maybe you're FaceTiming your grandkids, or maybe you have some relatives that you're able to talk to and just explain, or even mail them some of your extra seeds or something. But this is a great time. There's a huge interest in gardening right now. Everybody wants to get outside and grow their own food. So if you have the knowledge, I would encourage you to share it with anybody who's willing to listen.
And sometimes you do that indirectly. As I found out yesterday, on my driveway was this beautiful design. It had words, it had flowers. And come to find out, two little girls on our street, their ages are 7 and 9, I think. And they had written us a note and drew us some flowers. And the note said this: "We love your garden and we started some seeds."
Oh, that's so sweet. That's adorable. And that kind of goes along with, have you heard that that's kind of the thing now, is they're telling all the kids to draw on the sidewalks and send messages because everybody's out walking. And so you'll see those and it'll just kind of lift your spirits for the day if you see the messages that the kids are leaving on the sidewalk.
It absolutely melted our heart. Of course, we want people to notice our gardens and we want people to enjoy them. But I can't wait till those little girls can come. They've been here before, but it's been a while and it's not going to be that long the next time we're going to get them in the garden.
That sounds perfect. So what you have to do then is grow some extra things that maybe they would like to cut and take home. That's another one of our tips, is grow something that makes you happy. And I mean, what makes you happier than looking at a beautiful sunflower, you know?
Well, Diane, these are such wonderful ideas. Let's move on to Victory Garden 2.0. I absolutely love the sound of that.
Well, there's a reason why we at National Garden Bureau are talking about the Victory Garden. It's because our founder, Mr. Burdett, that I mentioned earlier, was very involved in the first Victory Garden movement that started in World War I. So about the time that World War II started, he actually started writing the Victory Garden Manual. And so I actually have a copy of it. I found it online a couple years ago. And so as we were looking at this manual last week, it just, you know, sometimes it's fortuitous how some of these things happen. But we were looking at it and thought, well, why not just reiterate some of the tips that he had in his Victory Garden Manual, adapt them for today, and start doing some blog posts. So we've started doing blog posts. We've put out one. I wrote the second one today, and we'll put it out later this week or next week. And we're just going to do a series of blog posts that say, hey, here's a Victory Garden for today, and we're calling it Victory Garden 2.0.
Absolutely love it. So what are the tips?
Okay, I am going to start with, and I'm not sure that everybody would say that this is step one, but we think one of the most important things to know to be successful, and we hear it quite often, people don't realize that there are specific growing zones. So you're in different climates, you would have a zone. I'm in zone 5B. You just go, from our blog, there is a link, but it's a USDA growing zone that's based on temperatures and last frost date and everything like that. So you have to know your growing zone, because that's how you know, is this going to be a perennial or not? What date can I plant my tomatoes? What date should I start my pepper seeds indoors? Your growing date. And my tip number two is to know your last frost date. So those two go hand in hand. In order to do that planning that I talked about for our other segment, you have to know those two things, growing zone and last frost date.
You know, I think especially those two are important because so many people, including me, were getting information off the internet. And you don't know who that person is, maybe, and you're not sure where they're growing. So you could get all excited about something that isn't going to do well in your zone. And if you don't know those things, or your last frost date. Around here, it's Mother's Day usually for us, and I too am in 5B. So, knowing those kinds of things and putting that bit of information with the other bits of information you get from the internet, you'll be
exactly
more successful.
Right. So then the next step is there's a couple aspects to this, really, and you'll have to shut me down. We may be talking about this part too long, but planning what you're going to eat. What do you like? What does your family like? How does it grow for you? There may be certain things that here where I am, it's harder to grow some vegetables. So, you know, you're going to have to do your research there, but also don't grow so much that your family's unable to eat it, unless you already know that you're going to be able to can or freeze or preserve the excess produce in some way, or maybe you're working with a friend or neighbor and you're going to grow all the zucchini and they're going to grow all the tomatoes. But you just kind of have to have a plan, because the worst thing that could happen right now is if you let excess produce go to waste.
Nobody likes that. We get so excited about tomatoes around here. I can tell you that in the middle of winter, we're already, you know, planning that party, but we can't wait. But tomatoes, we've been growing them for, you know, 35 years, and we don't always have success. So last year we found a slicer that we had such great success with. So you can only imagine how excited we are to plant it again. So anyway, that, you know, you get so excited because it is what you like. You know, zucchini, you mentioned zucchini. Well, I love to make zucchini bread, and I'll share zucchini bread. So of course, I'm going to have to plant zucchini. So finding out what you're going to eat and then learning how it grows.
Yes,
very successful.
Yes. Then the other important thing is your space. When we were looking at this Victory Garden manual, they were purporting to use, you know, a certain size of space because the backyards were kind of larger back in the 1940s. We think it's a very important tip is to think about, okay, where do you want to grow? Is it your backyard, your front yard, your side yard? Is it going to be on your patio? Is it going to be on your balcony? Or is it in containers? Are you going to have raised beds? So you have to think that through and make sure that it's in a sunny enough spot. I don't want people disappointed thinking, oh, I can grow under this pine tree and then suddenly realize it's too shady. So you want a place that's getting 6 to 8 hours of sun per day. For the most part, I know that there are exceptions, but for the most part, you are going to need some decent sun in order to grow what you want to grow, unless you're in a very hot climate like maybe Texas. Then there will be things that you do want to grow in the shade. So you have to plan your space. You have to do your research on where the sun hits your growing spaces and also take into account your local climate because that could change things up a little bit.
I don't discount at all containers. Just like I put some of my roses, I grow very large roses in containers. I also grew all the zucchini that we needed, our big tomatoes. They were all in pots on our driveway. So containers can certainly be an answer if you're, you know, someplace you don't have enough sun maybe in your yard, but if you have enough sun on your driveway or on your patio, as you said.
Other tip that I like to give when I'm talking to people about container gardening is please make sure you use a large enough container. You probably have some tips there when it comes to zucchini, but I mean, when I'm looking at things, I'm usually saying, oh, a good 14 to 18 inch container. When you're starting to go like an 8 inch container, you are not going to be able to grow a zucchini in an 8 inch container. So there's a lot of good resources for container gardening out there and just have to do a little research.
And part of that research, you know, seeds are so tiny and seedlings are so small. It's very deceiving as to what the plant will mature to be. So a little research will definitely be a good thing.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's we've got a little saying in the industry, we call it the power of seed. And boy, is it, you're right. You take that tiny little seed and you get a lot out of it.
Tiny tomato seed last year yielded a 10-foot tomato on our driveway. So it was, you know, my husband's over 6 foot and
wow,
he was having
to trim it. That's a big tomato. So then the fifth point is talking about your growing medium, your soil, your potting soil, whatever you want to call it. There's something dark brown that tomato or other vegetable has to grow in. And you know, today, as compared to when this Victory Garden manual was written, we have a lot more options. I mean, anywhere you go, your garden retailer, your big box store, anywhere you go, they're going to have some potting soil or growing medium that you can buy. And that is one of the most important things. When you think that you're growing your vegetables, you're growing food for your body. They need food to grow, and it comes from the soil and any fertilizer that you use there. Probably one of the most important things in gardening is having a good growing medium, potting soil, again, whatever you want to call it. Make sure it's a good one. Just get outside and garden. To me, it's like a chemistry experiment. My brother's a chemist, and he said, you know, 99% of my job is failure. We experienced gardeners usually, hey, I've probably killed more plants than you've ever even attempted to grow. So just try it, learn from your mistakes, enjoy your successes, but the best thing is just getting out and trying it.
Also, Diane, could you tell our listeners where they can find the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say?
Do you have one of the easiest websites to find because it's three letters, which it's basically the initials of our organization, National Garden Bureau. So the website is N as in national, G as in garden, B as in bureau.org.
Well, that is easy. Diane, I can't thank you enough for coming and being with us because, you know, we're hearing bad news just about every day. And this is all good news and it's all things that we can do. We're hearing so much about what we can't do. So I love the
I completely agree with you. This is one thing we can be in control of is what what we're spending our time doing. So you might as well do something productive that makes you happy.
And we didn't really talk about this, but I know there's parents out there who will want to know this. Also on that website, you're going to find some, and on their social media sites as well, you're going to find tips for gardening with children. I saw that come through maybe yesterday. And I know that our parents and grandparents are going to want to take a look at that as well.
Yes, there's definitely a good list of things that you can do with kids out in the garden, with a lot of links. For if you need instructions, there are links there. And that is thanks to our friends at kidsgardening.org. So yeah, you can also find that on our website in the same area. There's our blog is called Inspiration. So when you go to the website, you just click on the Inspirations tab, and that's where you'll be able to find a lot of those.
Well, friends, we pray that you are staying in and staying safe, and that you do have some extra time to try some of these great ideas. And remember to check out their website, those easy letters, ngb.org. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.